there, and welcome to the Gosh Daniel podcast. October 13th, Friday the 13th. Yes.
Right.
Episode 31.
That's a pretty good number. I mean, it's not that great when you consider we've been going for about a year, even if it wasn't consistently for a year. Like, I think we probably started, like, putting them out, or at least attempting to do weekly, around December.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I mean, but hey, we're on episode 31
right.
on the 13th, so if you That's flip them, it's cool, is what it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, who's to say that I'm putting it out today?
I know you're gonna put it out today right. because I've been saying the date
Fine.
Too much.
Yeah, so. I'll put it out today.
We're here to talk about Blade Runner.
That is a fact. We are talking about, well, actually, no, we're not going to talk about Blade Runner. Only like in relation to 2049, maybe. But we'll definitely be talking about Blade Runner 2049.
I mean, we can just talk about everything, because Blade Runner 2049 connects to Blade Runner. Did you know that?
Well, I mean, the last main episode was all about Blade Runner, right?
That's very true.
And even then, like, we forgot to mention, like, one of the most important things about Blade Runner is that lots of people have, like... The people who like Blade Runner are completely divided by this single theory that Deckard is a replicant.
Yeah.
And that plays a lot into 2049, I think. But, yeah, That's we didn't even talk
awesome
about
part.
It on the last episode. I know.
That's such an awesome part about the sequel, though, is that it doesn't actually really answer that question.
It neither answers the question nor disparages it. Like, it leaves it open. It leaves everything that was
so
open about
awesome.
The previous one, like, open still.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how they did that. Like, yeah, both theories totally fit into this movie, either way you look at it. So, super cool.
Yep.
But yeah, so we're talking about Blade Runner 2049. Also, I'd like to mention that Voltron Season 4 came out today, before we really get into it. And I've watched the first two episodes, and I think it's really, really good. I think
Ooh,
it's better.
That's cool.
I think it's better than season 3 as of yet. But we're not going to do a review about that on this episode. Next week's episode will probably have that to be released. I guess that's over a week that it will come out on, like, Saturday or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. I'm not sure who I'll have on to talk about it, but
maybe me.
But you haven't even seen season 3.
Well, you know what? Okay, you're right. But, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Blade Runner, I guess.
Right, yeah, Blade Runner. Okay, let's get back to it. So, I finally saw 2049. It took me pretty much a week. A little bit less than a week to finally go out
Yay.
And see it. And I think
Tell us your thoughts.
I think it's really, really good. I'm not sure. It might be in my top 3 movies of the year. I don't think it's my number 1 movie
cool.
of the year. I still
cool.
think, you know, Baby Driver is way up there.
Yeah.
Logan yeah. is probably way up there.
It is probably way up there.
I didn't even see that. I thought about it. Just, yeah.
Okay.
Totally did not care enough. But...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And no, we're not. I'm not gonna do. I'm not even gonna read the book actually for it. You know that totally died out. All of that interest is just gone.
But I am still.
But you're
eventually
still...
someday.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'm reading the book we have to read, and then I have to finish Harry Potter, and then I'll read it.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a really boring episode about your thoughts having finished Harry Potter after having seen all of the movies and spoiling it entirely for yourself. It might be really
yeah.
interesting to see if you cared at all.
Yes, but in the meantime, let's do our Gosh Daniel official assessment of Blade Runner 2049.
Right.
All right,
okay.
First
yeah.
topic is plot. Go. What'd you think?
So, the plot seemed sort of predictable at first. I had called... Okay, so at the beginning of the movie... Yeah, I guess we should do a rundown. Okay, the beginning of the movie starts Ryan Gosling... comes onto like flies onto this farm place, and he sees
Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah,
what?
He was in the last short film for Blade Runner. He was in 2048, And in that, we get to see that he's, like, a nice person, but also he's a replicant being hunted or whatever. And basically, the whole scene, Ryan Gosling comes in there and basically just kills him. And that's the end of that.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much.
And from, like, the trailers and stuff like that, like, you didn't know, at least I didn't, it was confirmed that Ryan Gosling was going to be a replicant. So, like,
yeah, I thought
that was cool.
I had predicted that, though. Like, that was the one thing that I thought was definitely going to happen in 2049. Or I thought there was a really good chance of it, but...
It seemed like it would make sense. And I know they definitely weren't gonna do it like it was that was the reveal. Yeah. So if they were to do it, they would just make it obvious. Just, like, oh yeah, he's a replicant.
Right. No, and deal. That's what they did. He goes and he kills what's his name? I actually don't know the character's name. And the guy's just like, you would kill one of
you
your
could
own.
Just call him Drax.
Yeah, he goes yeah. and he tries to kill Drax, and Drax like, you'd kill one of your own, and he's like, sure. But he's also said, like, I'm not one of you guys because I'm a model of replicant that doesn't run away. Or something like mm-hmm. that. And he goes, that's just because you've never seen a miracle. And that seems to be Ooh. Really random, I guess. But
yeah, it is.
It also seems like that'll play into the movie a bit. Sort of, obviously. But you still don't understand what he's talking about. And then he just kills
it's
him.
It's random, but it's kind of like cool script writing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And he kills him. There's actually a really great fight scene. For that fight, though. It was very brutal. Bashing his head all the way through it till he knocks his entire body through the wall. Sort of reminiscent
like, that was a
of
cool
that
shot,
scene.
Though.
Yeah, it reminds me of that scene in the original Blade Runner when, what's his name, like, punches through the wall and grabs Deckard's hand and, like, breaks his fingers and stuff.
Oh, I remembered that. That was awful. Like, I was cringing so badly.
That, yeah. I think that was trying to be reminiscent of that. And then, you know, Ryan Gosling just punches him in the throat like 6 or 7 times, and he just couldn't. It was a good scene. I think the action in this is really good, especially coming from, you know, I'm not sure I've seen any of this director, Denis Villeneuve. I don't think I've ever seen like something with a lot of action from him. I mean, I guess I've only seen Arrival, and that was the most non-action sci-fi movie possible. But this movie had great action.
I agree.
I
don't know. The action was the part that kind of, like, it wasn't, like, a bad thing, but it wasn't my favorite, I guess. It wasn't, like, a highlight part of the movie.
Really?
For me.
I thought it was, I thought it was totally in line with the, like, overly brutal type of action that we see in the original. I think it was.
Yeah,
it was like
there were some parts that I liked, like the wall, like different shots that they did that they got kind of creative or were trying to be reminiscent of the first movie. But I don't know. I wasn't kind of into it all too much for some of the action.
I think the hand on like hand to hand combat was really good.
Uh-huh.
At least that kind of action. I mean, there are a few scenes where mm-hmm. people just get blown up with missiles, and that's not quite as interesting. But overall, yeah, there's just, like, really, really brutal stuff where, like, you know, this guy will get hit in the back of the head and it just shows the shot of, like, blood pouring out of his eyes and his face as he's just, like, convulsing on the floor dying.
Oh, that scene, yeah, that was pretty brutal.
It's very rated R. I just want to say that now.
Oh, yeah.
If you're, like, a 2-year-old homeschooler, please don't go see this. Even though it's a great movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Continue with this overview of the plot.
Right, so he kills him, he goes back, we find out, you know, obviously they just said he's a replicant. He works for the LAPD. They have a bunch of replicants, and everybody sort of seems to hate replicants to some degree.
But wait, when he was at the farm, did he talk about, like, he did, like, a scan or whatever of the tree?
Oh, right, yeah. He saw this tree and there was a flower next to it. The tree was dead, but he had his little robot thing scan the tree. They find the crate underneath it, and so he gets sent back while the LAPD sends somebody to, like, dig it up or whatever. Yeah, he goes to the LAPD. People are being mean to him. Obviously calling him a skin job because he's a replicant. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then, let's see what happens next. He gets sent back to his apartment for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They had this great sort of fake out where he's talking to his, what sounds like his wife in a way, or like a girlfriend who's making him dinner. He's asking if she wants like a, you know, a glass of, you know, gin or whatever. And then he just drinks both of them, and she's a hologram that just comes in. But they have a really great, you know, they have a really great relationship, apparently. And he gets her this weird thing that lets her, you know, be a hologram, and that she gets to follow him around instead of just staying in his apartment.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool, actually. That was interesting, the way that they used not even a real character, just a hologram, and they kind of made that interesting,
right?
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, they made that an interesting part of the movie.
Exactly. They seem to do a lot of that. That's almost the point of Blade Runner, is that, like, it doesn't matter if you're a human or if you're a robot or if you're a hologram. You know, like, even these, like, computers and stuff like that can be more human than human. Mm-hmm. And they do a really good job with that. Also, the effects for her are really, really good, because she seems sort of solid, but then you can see, like, lights in the background sort of go through her.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there are scenes where they're, like, hugging or whatever, but it's, you can tell, like, she can sort of feel him, but he can't feel her.
Uh-huh.
It's done really well.
That's true. They were pretty creative with all that stuff. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So then he goes back to the police department, and they're analyzing this crate, which apparently had bones in it, and like a lock of hair or something like that with DNA. And this crate has just these bones. They analyze it, and there are like some cracks around her pelvis or whatever, so they figure out it's a girl who died in childbirth. But then they look deeper, they see like a serial code on her bones, which means that she's a replicant, which is where the entire movie starts to matter, basically, because we see replicants aren't able to reproduce, at least Wallace's, which are, you know, the ones that don't run away, that are the whole point. All the ones that you pretty much see in this movie, for the most part, are of Wallace design, and he can't figure out how to make them reproduce like Tyrell could from the original Blade Runner. So they go on this hunt, basically, to find out, like, stuff about this, to find the child that she apparently had when she died in childbirth, all this stuff. And, yeah, that's the main focus of the movie, is to find out what happened there, I guess, because Wallace is also sort of manipulating things to find out, you know, where this person is, so they can use them to, I guess, make replicants reproduce.
Uh-huh.
So he can colonize more planets, because he said that he can't, you know, he can only make so many, but if they were able to reproduce, he could colonize, like, the entire universe instead of just the 9 planets that he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you remember what happens next? Could you do the next part of the rundown or something?
Yes. The head of the police department or something like that, she, like, tells him to, like, not tell anybody of this, I guess, or something like that, but, like, she wants him to find the child or whatever, because they determine that it probably be alive if the mother was dead, and so then, yeah, that's what happens. It's his job to go find this child and kill it, and there's, like, this line where he's like, well, I've never killed anything that was younger than me before.
He's never killed anything that was born, is what he said. Yeah. And
born, yeah. You're right. Yeah, that's what he said.
And she's like, what does that, how does that matter? And he's like, well, I mean, it's almost as if they have a soul.
Yeah.
And she just goes, well, you've been getting along fine without one.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that. And that was actually a really cool part of the movie.
Yeah.
I actually like their dialogue between him and the head lady or whatever.
Wasn't it, like, Robin Wright, I think, who played her?
I think
that's what it was. She was in Wonder Woman, wasn't she?
She was. Oh, she was.
I think I liked her better in this. She was one of the...
Yeah, same. And so he tries to... Wait, isn't that where he tells the story to her about one of his, like implanted childhood memories or something like
that? I think that was a bit later on in the movie, but I can't remember what happened in between.
Yeah, so. That's okay. Okay, so I guess he's going to do research. Like, what does he do? He goes back
home. Oh, right, no, he goes to Wallace's corporation.
Oh, yes.
And he takes that lock of hair as like a DNA thing that they found in the crate. They search through archives, I guess, and find out that she's dead. So then they just catalog the fact that that old serial number has finally
been
retired.
And they play the audio clip, right? I remember that was the scene where they played the audio clip for the first time.
Yeah, and then they go downstairs and play. Speaking. Okay, so yeah, after there was a blackout that happened after the events of Blade Runner that wiped out most of the records, but they have some fragments, and they had this audio recording of stuff from the original Blade Runner with Deckard and Rachel talking to each other, and they find that is sort of like they know that that is her or something like that. They know that that's Rachel, so they play that bit of a clip for him, and it doesn't really mean anything other than that Ryan Gosling notices that it sounds like Rachel is trying to provoke Deckard or something, which means that she must be interested in him, and that's all that they figure out from that.
Yeah, and wasn't there like a bit of dialogue where what's her name, the girl that's helping him or something like that, I don't know, it was weird. And then, like, she kind of jokes around with that or something like that, like, kind of passively, and then he just denies her.
Yeah, right. Then she tries to provoke him. Like, right after he says the fact that she was provoking Deckard means that she liked him, and then she just provokes him. Yeah. And that only comes up, like, a tiny bit later in the movie. But
yeah,
I guess
that was funny.
Yeah, it's still an interesting thing that is added to the movie.
And then, so, because of this... this assistant lady that helps Ryan Gosling, she, like, lets Wallace know, right?
Yeah, she lets Wallace know.
That's how they find out. That's how they find out about what's happening,
right.
I guess.
Then they just keep following Ryan Gosling to find out where the child is, because they know he'll probably be able to find them.
So yeah, I guess.
They just keep
and then
manipulating
after...
him and helping him out in a way to find him. So.
Uh-huh. And then after that, after he goes to Wallace, the Wallace Corporation, he goes back home, right? And isn't that when he talks to what's her name? The chief lady of the police department, I guess?
Yeah, that might
be around
that.
He talks about his childhood memory, I think. All I know is that they're drinking, and then she's like, what are one of your memories or whatever? He's like, they're not real, they're implanted, so what does it matter? And she's like, no, I still want to know one, though. And she's like, okay. He's like, okay. And then he tells her about how when he was a kid, he would, like, he remembers, like, these kids chasing after him. And he had this, like, horse that they were trying to take, I guess. And so he was running away. And he's like, all he remembers is that he had to protect the horse. That was, like, the only thing he had. And so he hid it in this, furnace thing.
Yeah.
And then the kids found him, and then they beat him up or whatever.
Yeah.
And
right. And the thing about that that matters to him, and the reason why he talks about it, is because he doesn't tell Robin Wright this, but he like, it shows that in the film that on the tree where she was buried, the crate thing, there was like these few numbers that was like a birth date or something like that. And he remembers that from that was on the horse that he had, like, that those, so the same numbers were on the bottom of the horse, were carved into it, which starts him thinking that he could be real, because usually memories are fake and they're implanted, but he just saw, like, sort of evidence of the fact that, you know, maybe what he remembers is real, which would make him think. He starts getting to the point where he searches through archives, looks through a bunch of DNA of, like, replicants and stuff like that, finds that I don't know, does he know that it's his DNA at the time? But he just finds people's DNA that matches. One of them is a male, one of them is a female, and it says the female's deceased. Which starts him thinking, well then, I'm real, I guess. It takes him a while
he's the one that was born.
Yeah, it takes him a while to admit that to himself, that he's the one that's born, and his memories aren't
implanted. In the meantime, his hologram or whatever is trying to convince him that it is, because she's like, I knew you were special, and I knew that, you know, you're more than just what you seem and stuff like that. And at first he doesn't buy it.
Yeah, he thinks that she's just saying that sort of stuff because she's programmed to and because she likes him and stuff, obviously. But
yeah, and then once he starts finding more and more evidence that that may be true, he's like, wow, maybe she is right. Maybe I am, you know, maybe I am special. Maybe I am actually born. And and then he continues searching. Then that's the point where he wants to go find Deckard, right?
No, there's a little bit after that. He goes to the orphanage that he remembers.
I figured that was, he was searching. Oh, for some reason I thought
that was before he found
that was on
Deckard.
His way. That was on his way to find Deckard.
I don't think so.
He ended up stumbling on that, but okay.
I think that was part of his attempt. Sense. So he goes, he finds this orphanage. Yeah. He punches the guy in the face and he makes him go find the records from a kid who went by 30 years back to try to, like, you know, prove
and
if,
it was
like,
Morgan.
He was actually
it
there.
Was Morgan from The Walking Dead, though, which was funny. You probably wouldn't. Yeah, it was a character from The Walking Dead, which was weird to see him. And, like, he was actually kind of funny because, like, he was yelling at them, and the moment someone else comes in, he's trying to act like, oh, no, it's a business, and I'm just trying to, you know, do what I can to by making, like, kids slaves.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty despicable person, but he's totally afraid of the cops, so.
Yeah.
And he gets really, yeah, he's really afraid of Gosling. So he goes and he finds this book of archives from, like, 30 years back when Ryan Gosling figures he or the kid or whatever must have gone through the orphanage based on, what, his memories or something.
Oh, but wait, I remember what we were missing, though, too, because before that, doesn't he go to the place where the memories are made?
Right, yeah, he talks to this girl who makes memories, and he shows her basically things that he remembers. She starts crying, and she's like, yeah, those are definitely real.
I love that scene.
It was really,
so much.
Really well shot.
Was
it was really well acted.
My favorite scene of the whole movie, to be honest.
It was really good.
I love that scene.
Yeah, this plot is pretty convoluted. It's really hard to, like, explain in full.
It's so true, though. But, so we're probably butchering the explanation.
Right.
But bear with us.
Yeah.
Here.
He goes through, finds out that that year that he would have gone through the orphanage is gone. Somebody tore it out of the book. He, like, then checks the furnace and finds the horse there. And then he's like, wow, okay, so this is real, definitely.
That basically confirms it.
He's like, I must be this one that was born.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, what does he do next?
Well, he gets back in his ship and he flies away.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all I remember. I remember he does fly away.
Oh, right. No, and then he goes back to the LAPD and they have these tests for replicants.
Yes.
That they showed at the beginning of the movie that are, like, trying to make sure, like, your emotions are in check, but just for replicants. Mm-hmm. So they make you repeat these phrases. They tell you these things. It gets really intense or whatever. They did that to him again, and this time he was just, like, off the charts, like, full of emotion and completely not in control. So they're like, so Robin Wright's like, what the crap is going on with you, man? He's like, I found the child. And she's like, so? And he's like, and I did what you wanted me to do with it, which I guess obviously isn't true, because he thinks it's him.
And that's, then for Robin Wright's character, that's like, okay, that's why he's all over the charts.
Right.
That makes sense, but still he has to leave because, you know.
So they suspend him.
Because
she gives him, you know, like, I don't know, 48 hours or something like that to get away. But then he'll have to take another test. And if he doesn't pass that test, then he's going to be, what, retired or something? So.
I guess, yeah.
And not retired as in from his job, as in destroyed. I just want to point that out.
I was thinking of saying something, but I didn't know if that was implied.
Oh, yeah. Then he talks to this guy about who knew Deckard, and he was from the original Blade Runner, and he was, like, the best character ever, who folds all the little paper animals and stuff. He talks about Deckard, and he even says that he retired or was retired, which you could think meant from being a Blade Runner and could also work for, you know, being a replicant, then that he was destroyed. So, I don't know, maybe. It works both ways for that theory, which is amazing.
And he folded a sheep, right?
Was it a sheep or was it like a horse?
I thought it was a sheep to reference the book that Blade Runner was based on.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, cool.
And I thought that made sense. But then wasn't there, like, it wasn't, like, a big deal, but, like, in 2049, he didn't speak in, what was this new language or whatever that he spoke in the first one or something like that? Remember that was a thing.
I don't...
In the original one, he spoke in,
He spoke in English.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they were saying that he, in the first one, he spoke in, something speak is what they called it. I don't know why I can't remember the name for the language that they used. Remember? Since I watched the original and not the director's cut, then they had, like, the voiceovers
right. And
stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
Harrison Ford basically said that it was, like, a mix of German and Japanese or something like that.
All I remember is his one, like, this one line from the end of the movie that he says. He's like, it's too bad she won't live, but then again, who does?
And yeah.
That's him. And he speaks that in English.
Yeah. So they're like, but he said that he didn't want to speak in the language, that he would just speak in English.
Right.
So
okay.
I guess that was the thing. So
that's,
yeah.
That's really random information. Yeah. I think that cut is awful. Like, that, it's not even a good movie if you watch it in the cinematic or theatrical cut. Like, watch directors
a weird
or
movie,
final.
So.
I mean, it's one of my favorite movies, but I watched the director's cut.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Everyone that says Blade Runner is good is watches the director's
cut. Or the final cut. I want to watch the final cut. I'm thinking about getting the Blu-ray for the finals cut. For the final
cut.
It's supposed to have a 3-hour documentary about how they made it.
Oh, wow.
It should be amazing.
That's fun.
yeah. Yeah, all right. So he goes, basically, he spends, like, another night at his apartment and then leaves in the morning, I think.
Uh-huh. Yes.
He met this girl, I think, like, when he was on the streets looking for somebody, and she was like, hey, you wanna... And he's just like, nah, not interested. She goes away.
But the reason why she did that was because, like, a hooded figure comes up to her
and tells her, like,
talk to him.
Yeah, find out what he knows or something. So...
Yeah.
So we know that she's working for somebody, but we don't know who. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, he sees her a few times, like, going different places and stuff like that. She's sort of following him a little bit. He flies off, and is this when he flies off and ends up actually finding Deckard?
I'm pretty sure.
And it's about this time he finds Deckard in this old casino, and he's like, I don't want to hurt you. And Deckard's like, really? And he just shoots him.
You can't just skip to that. Like, that first scene when he's walking and just the orange.
Right.
Like,
it's really,
that
it's
cool. That was an awesome
really
scene.
Beautifully shot.
Uh-huh.
And he sees all these bees.
And then the bees, which is kind of weird.
But it's crazy because, you know, there aren't, like, just animals around, you know? So to find a whole hive of, like, bees and then beekeeping and stuff like that, he knows somebody's here. So then he goes off and opens this casino. He's walking around. He plays this note on a piano. This dog comes up.
The same note
that revealed a little sock in this piano of the guy from the beginning of the movie, which let him know that there was a kid. But, like,
we are not
you could do fine without the information of a sock. Like,
yes,
you don't need
true.
That. Anyway, so he plays this note, the same note on the piano or whatever. The dog comes up, and then this is just some random dog, and then Deckard comes up behind him and is pointing this gun at him. Then they talk for a little bit. Deckard just shoots him, and he falls over the balcony. Then there's, like, a full-on, basically the end of the original Blade Runner, like, hunt scene, like, in the dark, with, like, lights going off everywhere, this hologram of
Elvis
sometimes playing and then
yes.
cutting out and getting really loud and then quiet and then lights flickering. Deckard is basically just hunting him. And he's like, I don't want to hurt you, but you're making this difficult. Deckard just punches him, like, what, 8 or 9 times in the face, and then he's just like, oh, okay. So you're not going to fight me back here, so I guess you want to have, like, a drink or something? He says, he's like, this Elvis song keeps playing. He goes, I really like this song, so we could either just, you know, do this, or we could have a drink. Ryan Gosling's like, yeah, sure, I'll take the drink. They go back, they talk a little bit. He asks him questions about the kid, and he's like, well, I never knew the kid. My point was to disappear. we found out that the guy who Ryan Gosling hunted at the beginning of the movie was just like helping them out, basically. He helped hide the kid and whatever. But Deckard never knew where the kid was, who the kid was.
What was interesting is when Ryan Gosling asked all these questions, he was kind of asking from like a personal note,
because he thought Deckard was like his father. You know, he really strongly feels that, and so.
So you think, oh, maybe is he gonna tell him? But then when Deckard replies with, "What does he say exactly?" Like, when you love something that much, you can't just like in the circumstances you have to.
You have to be a stranger.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what he says.
And so then they drink to being a stranger, to being strangers.
Yes, I guess. And that's why Ryan Gosling doesn't tell him
right
that they're related. Well, that's what Ryan Gosling thinks.
Yeah, right. So I feel like it's this totally predictable thing throughout the whole movie. Of course, the main character we're following is like, you know, this miracle child, and he's also related to the main character and all this stuff. But track Ryan Gosling. I guess Ryan, he doesn't really have a name, right? He's like KD673 or something like that.
Everyone just calls him K.
Yeah.
And then his hologram names him Joe.
Because it's the most generic name, and she wants him to have a name. So, I guess.
Joe.
Yeah, so he starts calling himself Joe.
I laughed in the theater when she said that, actually. It was funny.
so they track Joe. They kick his butt. And they capture Deckard, and and so Joe is going to be he's like dying. He gets found by some people. He gets found by some people who are trying to help him out. Find out it's that girl who's been following him around. It's also the girl who told to her. Yeah.
That works for Wallace, right?
No, not them.
What girl?
Oh. The girl who was following around due to that other mysterious person's orders. We find the mysterious person. She helped hide the baby. She started this whole underground movement of replicants to try to, prove that they're more human than human and, like, you know, actually be accepted. All this stuff. And so they need to find the child still, I guess. Or they know where the child is, right? I think
so.
I think they probably know. And they basically recruit him to kill Deckard, because now they can get information out of him, sort of. Because they think that they can use him to find the child. Thing is, Deckard doesn't know anything about finding the child. Mm-hmm. And I think they know that, which then leaves it open for... I mean, the Wallace Corporation doesn't know that, right? So is it that they're trying to find him because he's one of the old models of replicants, and maybe... because the fact that he also was able to have a child, they want to dissect him to figure out he can reproduce. That could sort of fit into it, but then it also could not, if you're thinking about the other way, it also doesn't fit. So they leave it open again there. He has this whole scene, then it just starts focusing on Deckard for maybe 20 minutes. It's a 3-hour movie, I just want to mention that now. 3 hours. So this plot summary is taking a while. They find Deckard, the Wallace Corporation finds Deckard, right? So he's talking to Wallace, and Wallace is being creepy like he normally is.
You know, the use.
Yeah, and then he, you know, shows like a clip, plays a clip of Deckard talking to Rachel again. He shows like an actual, like, video thing of Rachel. And then he brings out, like, a replicant that looks like Rachel. And it's just like this... like CGI monstrosity, which I actually think worked, because the point is that it looks sort of realistic, but it's not the real thing. So the CG actually sort of plays into the plot for me, and it doesn't like affect my viewing. It's not like you're actually seeing that person recreated. It's they're trying to recreate a person based off of, you know, like this crappy footage that they have. So I thought it worked.
Basically, in the movie, they're trying to recreate this person, and they don't do it really well. And then the editors tried to, or like the effects people try to recreate a person, and they didn't do it really well.
Yeah, so like it worked for me, even though like it's technically sort of a bad CGI human replica thing, but it looked like, you know, would have to fit in the story. Deckard looks up at her and whatever, and she's like, "Don't you love me?" And then he goes, her eyes were green, and he turns away, and then they just shoot her in the head, and that was the end. It's pretty brutal. Yeah, and so then they take him off to another place in this car thing. Floating car thing. Oh, right.
You know.
And so they also told Joe that he's not, that the thing is a girl. Right, so that their
thing is a girl.
That Deckard's kid is a girl.
But the way they did it, though, the way they did it was so heartbreaking.
It was really sad because they just mentioned that they have to find her. And he goes, wait, she? I thought he was a he. And they're just like, wait, you thought it was you, didn't you? And he's like, and they're like,
and it's like, oh, we all thought it
we
was.
We all want
like,
it to
we
be
all
us.
Wish it was, yeah, wish it was us. And then it's like, that just makes it so heartbreaking. It's like,
yeah.
Wow.
But then he's, like, totally part of this cause in, like, a really broken-hearted way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He just goes
really
to...
broken-hearted.
He goes to find Deckard again.
Oh, and by this time, though, the holograph girl is dead.
Oh, right, yeah. But that's almost unimportant, because she doesn't really...
I know.
Yeah,
but,
they killed
but,
her. So then he's broken-hearted
it was,
in twice.
No,
two
it
ways.
Affected me. It affected me when I was watching
it. Was sort of sad.
I felt sad.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I love you!
She's just,
and
she goes,
then
I love,
one...
and then they... She, yeah. Then it's
and
broken.
Then she gets stepped on her little like computer thing.
Her little hologram
thing
projector
gets stepped on.
Jeez,
so.
This is crap. Why are we trying to explain the whole plot? This is awful.
I don't know. This probably wasn't the best way of
no.
going about it. But come on, we're already almost all right, finished.
So
we can do this.
He finds Deckard. And he makes their plane thing crash, and then he's just fighting hand to hand, gets stabbed multiple times, and there's this horrible scene. That's also just amazing, where the whole ship is basically going underwater. Deckard is, like, you know, trying to breathe, but, you know, he's strapped into the seat. And right next to him, Joe is, like, pinning down Wallace's, you know, main...
girl assistant lady.
Assistant replicant person.
But it was funny, though, because when she, like, stabbed him a couple times and then ran away, she's like, I am the best!
Yeah, so she stabs him a few times, then kisses him, and then says... He has, like, I'm the best one, and then she walks away. He comes back, and he just starts choking her, and it's, like, it takes 2 minutes, basically, for her to die.
More brutal action,
It works so well for this. Like, I love it. I freaking love it. It's really good. It's well done. And he's choking her. She's trying to choke him, but, you know, she's so much smaller. Her arms can't really reach him very well. He holds her above water, pinning her against the top of the ceiling, and then he pins her underneath the water. And then she just eventually dies, and then he helps Deckard. They get out.
And then the final scene.
Which is great. He takes Deckard to his daughter, which he figured out, sort of, you know, where she is. And it's the girl who has been creating, like, memories that he talked to near the beginning of the movie.
What?
And he takes her there, and, you know, he's like, you know, sure, now you can actually finally meet your daughter. And then, you know, I guess Joe
that
just dies
amazing.
On the steps there, and Deckard goes inside.
Well, does he die, though?
That's the thing.
We don't know.
You can't really tell if he dies. It seemed like he did, but you also don't see a dove. And when other replicants died, not all of them, but most of them, in the original Blade Runner, you see, like, a dove go by, which is maybe, like...
What?
It's
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's, like, questioning, like, do they have a soul? Right? Because they talk about that even in this movie. You see this dove go by. But you don't see a dove in this one. So that makes you question, like, maybe they don't have souls. Maybe they do.
Maybe they do.
Maybe he didn't die.
We don't know.
Probably don't have souls. Who knows?
It's up to your interpretation.
Maybe you need to be born to have a soul.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then Deckard just goes in, and he just sees his daughter, and he just... He's sad, and he's happy, and that's the end of the movie.
That is the end. We did it.
It's so freaking good.
I don't know who would want to watch a review and hear the movie get explained to them after they've seen
it. It took 40 minutes.
But we explained
there
the plot.
We go.
Like, let's just say this review is for people who haven't seen it.
I guess so.
Don't want to go to see it.
I guess so.
who are interested enough to want to know what happened, but not interested enough to actually see
right.
it.
Right. Oh, so geez. I think the plot subverted almost every expectation I had. It seemed like it was super predictable, and then just totally flipped it on its head in a way you didn't think about. Everything, like, about the plot development was just super unique and interesting to me throughout the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 18 out of
18. And I knew that, like, I was, you know, falling into the trap of, because I made my predictions, and I was, like, maybe the first, like, 20-30 minutes, like, when they revealed that there was something to do about, like, a child or something like that. I don't know if that was in that
you're
time
like,
range,
oh,
but
gosh,
something
it's
when
him,
it was a child.
Isn't it? Ugh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, and then
he
that's what I thought
is,
for
and
maybe.
And then he finds out that the memories are real, and you're like, oh, my word.
Maybe when he, I think when it was officially confirmed, when he found out that the memory was real, when he found the horse, I'm like, nope, this is not the child. That's not the child. I knew, it's always something else, because it's not even that close to, like, it's not even, and maybe it's halfway through the movie. He can't be the child. There has to be something more with it.
I wanted to keep my options open when watching it, because I'm like, you know what, it would be really unique and interesting if he wasn't the child, but then they're also setting it up so he is. So I wanted to keep expectations open a bit there and be like, sure, I'll follow the movie, I guess. But
it's Denis Villeneuve.
It was interesting,
so of course,
and it was really well
done.
It was gonna be
like twist on twist.
It was good.
So, yeah.
It was very, very
good.
It
was awesome.
Very enjoyable. 18 out of 18 for plot development and that sort of thing.
I agree. 19 out of 18.
Then I guess, what do we talk next? Characters and acting? This is one of the best acted movies I think I've seen.
Yeah, like Holograph Girl, she was pretty good.
Yeah, everybody was really, really good.
And Ryan Gosling, his acting, I liked it. It worked with the movie, which I kind of was afraid it wasn't
right,
going to work. Like, I had that thought in the back of my head.
I don't
like,
think he's that great,
will he
but
ruin this movie?
He didn't ruin it. He did well.
It worked really well,
yeah.
Which was awesome.
And it was also
and
fun
then
seeing
was
him get beat up a ton of times. But
yeah, and then there was Wallace, who was
maybe Jared,
you know,
Leto's best performance, but still not great. You know,
exactly. That's so sad.
I think he was a lot better in 2036. Actually, like his character seemed more interesting to me there.
Oh yes, I remember. I liked that. I liked him in 2036. Actually,
yeah.
That short film was so good.
They made him a
slight, he was really good.
Like they made him a bit more creepy, and they showed off the fact that he's, you know, sort of androidish. Like he's sort of a cyborg, which you don't actually see any other examples of cyborgs in the Blade Runner universe, but he's blind, so he's used different things to like make him able to see using these little floating cameras, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't to that level that I wanted him to be of creepy or weird, but he wasn't okay.
To that level of interesting that I wanted him to be.
Yeah, he wasn't as good as the other characters.
Yeah, like I wasn't intrigued or really that interested. Sure, he was creepy and weird, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'd be interested in it just because of that. So.
And Harrison Ford was so much better than he was in The Force Awakens in this. As Deckard,
totally.
He was just
his performance
perfect.
Was awesome.
It was amazing. And I felt like in The Force Awakens, you could tell he really didn't want to be there. Which I felt played into his role a bit more. But
yeah.
In this, it was like, yeah, this is Harrison Ford, and he's
and he
Harrison
was so
Ford.
True to his he was so true to like his original character
right.
too, which was awesome.
He was great. Like he didn't play like some overcompetent person, and he didn't play, you know, some unemotional person. He was just like an angry person to some extent.
and it wasn't like where we think maybe he's gonna have a bigger role in the movie, but he only is in it for like a quick glimpse and he really isn't that important and like it's like, wait, why did you have him in the movie again? He actually was a vital part of the
film.
He
mattered to the movie,
and he had a,
but he wasn't
he had a good part in the movie.
He wasn't
too,
the main
like a good
character,
chunk of the movie,
but he
yeah.
still mattered to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really
so
good.
So they did it really well.
Yeah. I liked having a movie where just the main character was a nobody. It's great.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Pyre. Okay, so spoilers for Pyre. If you haven't played Pyre, spoilers. You play as somebody who, in that game, you play as somebody who sort of starts to help a rebellion, but also doesn't matter. Like, everybody that you work with and help are going to be, like, known in history books in the future, you know? But you're a nobody. And I felt like that's what Ryan Gosling was doing in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You play as he's a nobody. And he's not going to be remembered, like, but he did something, you know?
That's actually, like, by the end of the movie, I think that's when you're supposed to have that, the audience is supposed to have that realization.
Right.
That we've been following this guy, and he really isn't even that important, yet we still cared about him.
And so, he recognizes he's not important at all. And
yeah. And that's weird, though, because as an audience, like, people aren't used to caring for someone that isn't the important part of the story, I guess, overall.
Yeah. And were you definitely not used to following somebody for 3 hours who isn't important?
Yeah, I know. It definitely tests your patience, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I
thought that the pacing was good with that, though. I still think.
Yeah. I think the pacing was fine. It's just, it's fair to say that it's a lot slower. It's fact to say that it's a lot slower.
It is a slower movie, but the pacing is consistently slow. Even the way the characters walk is slow. Like, everything they take is to, like, emphasize, like, the just uniqueness of the filming, the, like, unique story. It goes slow, I think, on purpose, and it works, and it's consistent, so.
It worked for us, but not the members of America, apparently.
Not the people who only go to this movie because they heard there was action in it. I think if you understood and...
Poor Blade Runner.
If you understood and liked the original Blade Runner for what it was, then you will understand in, like, 2049 for what it is. It's...
Yeah, but from, like, a business perspective, probably not a good move to make a sequel.
Right. But it's a good artistic
move.
Like,
definitely... Oh, for sure. Like, I definitely wouldn't say, oh, I don't think they should have made this movie. But if they actually had the intention of making money, then... They didn't think it through too much.
If they had the intent of making money, then they shouldn't have made a movie that totally, like, a sequel to a movie that totally and completely bombed in the, like, to begin with, you know?
Uh-huh,
it'll make
exactly.
a lot more on, like, Blu-ray purchases than movie tickets, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, that's how it was with the original, right? Like, the movie in the theater bombed, but slowly and slowly, after the director's cut and all this, like, it slowly developed a pretty good fan base. Mm-hmm. So... But it isn't definitely a pretty good fan base that's big enough that, you know, could actually make enough money in a sequel like this. You know, help a sequel like this make enough money. Because, like, I think the budget was, like, $150 million, I think.
Something. Yeah, here, I'll look it up.
And then in the first weekend, they made $35 million, so...
They definitely, yeah, they're not going to make their money back on this one.
Definitely a loss.
But it's so worth seeing.
Its second weekend, I think it was like $30 million, and it was still at the top of the box. It was at the top of the box office, which was cool, but it still wasn't making a lot of money, so.
Yeah. It's not the kind of movie that audiences will like, but it's the kind of movie critics will love.
Yeah, like people who care.
People who care about Blade Runner.
Truly care about, like, good storytelling will like this movie.
Right.
I mean, who want to go beyond just watching a movie and for its, you know, what it is.
All right, yeah.
Who really know how to be artsy and think really deep.
All right, so, like, just continuing down the list of casts. Like, Robin Wright was excellent. Dave Bautista, he had, like, a short role, but, I mean...
He was good.
Was really good. The person who played the, you know, Joe's, like... girlfriend thing, the robot, the thing,
hologram,
the hologram
thing.
Yeah,
she was good.
Ana de Armas, she was amazing.
Yeah, Ana de Armas.
Oh yeah, and so the what's his name, Wallace's assistant Love is her name. She's played by Sylvia,
like,
Hoex.
Isn't she like Norwegian or something? Or
I mean, with a name like Hoex, like probably that. Yeah.
Well, I heard something that this was, like, her... Well, of course, probably, like... It was, like, her first major role,
yeah.
I guess. Her first... Like, her debut, I guess, in a movie, so...
Right. I mean, she got the Golden Calf Award for Best Supporting Actress.
Whoa. The Golden Calf...
What the heck is
what?
This? Is this some sort of weird...
some Norwegian award show?
I'm guessing so. Yeah. Yeah, she's really good.
Messed
she's
up.
From the Netherlands.
Oh, Netherlands. See, I knew it started with an N.
and it's somewhere okay. over there.
Yeah, somewhere over there.
Yeah, really, really good. Like, everybody's performance is just excellent. I can't point to uh-huh. one person who was awful, but Jared Leto was eh.
Jared Leto was eh.
I can't think of anything Jared Leto has ever done in the music world or a movie world that hasn't just been either bad or eh.
Eh. But it probably didn't help that, what was it, 2036 or something like that? It amped up his performance.
Yeah.
Like, gave you this expectation. It made you expect that he was gonna be good.
Like, really
yeah,
good.
He was gonna be this, like, when I leave the film from seeing this movie, like, leave the theater from seeing this film, I'm gonna, like, you know, really, he's gonna be, like, a highlight, but he wasn't.
Yeah,
so
not really.
Was sad.
Yeah.
That was a bummer.
Everybody was good. Acting, 18 out of 18.
Yeah, acting, for sure. 18 out of 18.
All right, well, now we're getting to the filmmaking part, which is the thing that you think it would...
Filmmaking!
It would absolutely triumph at.
Yes.
And everything about it was, like, not just passable and even perfect. It was just, like, unimaginably beautiful. Like, his movies are great.
It's so true.
And the cinematography is amazing. And
like, I'd want to read his screenplays, just his books, like... They're so good. He's such a good storyteller, okay? Yeah. Like, Arrival was the best.
You really are into Arrival, and I'm really into Blade Runner. So I feel like we're almost qualified to talk
Yay.
About this
movie. Almost qualified, yeah.
I mean, everything about it was really good and well done, but
Some
of the CG was overwhelming, like, and just amazing. And some of it was just very, very off. Did you notice that at all? Like, there's...
What are you talking about in particular?
Okay, so there's this, you know, the weird orange place where the casino was and everything.
Yeah.
There was just the scene where all of the, you know, the speeder things are flying to go, you know, find Deckard. And Joe, it was terrible. It looked really, really bad. And then there's that part where he's using his goggle things to, you know, look around that landscape, and the CG there is also pretty terrible.
Oh,
I felt like
I didn't really
just those two,
that.
Those two parts were bad. But you don't have.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what'd you say it was? 150 million.
Yeah.
Well, with, you know, CGI recreating a human being, all the different...
A whole futuristic world that takes a lot of, you know, rendering of crazy things.
I think it's just that the budget was a bit too low. Like, with how ambitious this project was and how long it was, how many different types of, you know, effects that they were using for different things... The fact that one of the main characters was
still...
a hologram throughout the entire movie that things in the background needed to shift through...
Uh-huh.
I just don't think they had the budget to make that look amazing.
It's crazy, though, because even still, they probably won't make money for a lot of it. So,
yeah. So, like, the CG is not perfect. Everything else is more than perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. I'll give it a 17.9 out of 18.
I'll give it, like, I didn't have any troubles with filmmaking, the CG and stuff, but I'll give it a 17.5, just because, I don't know, like, I liked the movie, but I know I definitely didn't like it as much as you did, so I have to go down a little bit more on my rating.
Right.
Because, like, I totally get it, and I get what the movie was about, and it stood for, and it was really cool and really awesome. But still, I'd probably give it like a 17.5 for that last section.
Right.
And even that's not even a big deal. It's only a couple decimals, so.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess before we go into overall, I want to say that I don't think this movie is just a movie that is a blockbuster that you'd go in and enjoy. It's a movie that has, like, deep meaning and, like, deep connections to the other film. And
yeah.
It's long and it's slow. And
I think I didn't enjoy the movie from the comfort of my home way more.
I think it just needs more than one viewing to really get all that there is out of it. I felt the same way with the original Blade Runner. I really liked it seeing it the first time, but watching it the second time and, you know, times after that, it's just amazing. And you don't get that upon a first viewing. It's definitely worth watching.
It's one of those
movies. You need to watch it more than once if you want to get all that's out of it, out of there. Which is why, like, it's technically, like, amazing. Uh-huh. And well done in almost every way. But it doesn't give you the, like, emotional feedback upon the first viewing, I don't think. But I think it's so close to the original Blade Runner. I'm confident that, you know, upon more viewings, like, it'll matter more. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, well, this is definitely a unique film series, I guess. Do you think they'd actually continue it, though?
No. Definitely not.
No. I wouldn't want them to. I think I am fulfilled.
Yeah, two movies and I don't think they really would. Good enough for me.
I don't think they really would if they, I mean, wanted to. Just
I don't want to see an uprising.
Like I said, the
movie.
The business end of things. Right.
Not
I
only
guess.
It won't make money, but the next story that they would have to tell would not be interesting. Because it's
true.
Like, yay,
unless
they found
skipped.
Her, and now they're starting an uprising again. Like that's not something I want to see in a movie.
And even if they skipped like a while, like a good amount of years, we just see the result of this uprising, and either it'd be, oh yay, we're gonna tell a boring story about how, look, replicants are human. Are like humans now because they won the uprising, or
there are no humans.
Oh, they didn't win the uprising, so now they're still gonna fight or something lame like that. Either way, it wouldn't work. So just don't.
They told up until the point, like they told the most interesting parts of the story, and that's
I agree.
All we needed.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't want more, but it was really good, and I'd say overall, if I was rating on like an emotional scale. Like, I'd give it maybe, like, a 17 out of 18. If I'm writing it on, like, a technical scale of filmmaking, of, like, the plot and the characters, like, we've been reviewing movies, it's an 18 out of 18.
Yeah. That's really accurate, though, to what I was thinking. Like, I agree. On an emotional scale, I'd say 17. But, like, from the perspective of actually the way this story was created and slowly, like, changing and being molded, and as you're watching it, like, totally, it was beautiful, okay?
It was really well done.
Is the best. He's the best.
He's really great, and there are rumors of him doing a Dune movie.
I heard about that. That
would
be
interesting. So cool. I'm not super into Dune, and I don't think that the original movie was all that great.
He's starting to maybe get a track record, if he does do this, of, making sequels to movies that bombed in the theater.
Right. And movies that lots of people don't like and that have a cult following of people who think it's, you know, maybe the best movie of all time, and if you don't like it, you're the worst person. So
yeah, basically.
It'll be interesting.
But I think, like,
but he makes
Arrival
really good movies.
Arrival was accepted pretty well, though.
Definitely.
So that is out of the... But he's done a couple of other movies previously that I didn't really... Like,
yeah, they didn't
know about.
From what I understand, they didn't get any traction at all. But
yeah.
I'll look it up.
All right,
I'll look it up while we're here, because I felt like we wasted about half an hour talking about just the plot of the movie, trying to explain it really poorly. I want it to go on a bit longer just to prove no, that's not all there is. It's not just a bad explanation of a movie. We have things to say.
If people could have the patience to sit through Blade Runner 2049, they can have the patience to sit through this podcast.
Right.
Maybe.
Probably, maybe.
Maybe.
All right, so he's done Arrival, Sicario.
Oh, I remember Sicario.
Prisoners, Enemy, Incendies.
He really likes one-worded movie titles.
I know, right? Polytechnique. Maelstrom.
Okay, then.
Next Floor. Oh, that breaks it. Cosmos. Rewind Fast Forward. All weird artsy movies.
All weird artsy movies.
Let's see, what was Sicario like? I'm looking this up.
Wait, is that the one with Emily Blunt?
Yes.
I'm getting confused. Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Del Toro, that one Emily was... Blunt,
Josh Brolin.
That one was... It was good. It wasn't... I liked it, I guess. It was cool.
It wasn't anything special?
No, I'd seen it, like, a while ago, so all I remember is that it was okay.
Oh, so. And see, it's not a sci-fi movie, is it, really?
No, it's like a SWAT team movie, I guess. I don't know.
My guess is that his style of directing would work a lot better just for sci-fi movies.
Agreed.
And if he tries to do much else, it just won't work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm saying, having not seen anything other than a few sci-fi movies of his, so... Just don't take that with a grain of salt, but I think he's really good, and I want to see him do more.
Yes, hopefully he does more.
It'd be so weird if he directed a Star Wars movie. That would probably have, like, the most gravity.
Yeah, that'd be the artsiest Star Wars movie.
That'd be so cool. But it would be, like, really slow and, like, really deep, and...
Watch, people would love it, even though they don't like Blade Runner, or they didn't go see Blade Runner 2049. People would be like, oh my gosh, it's such a deep Star Wars film, like, I really loved it. And then they're like, oh, well then why didn't you go see Blade Runner 2049?
Hmm?
Like, oh, I don't know, it just wasn't mainstream enough.
It wasn't mainstream enough. I heard that it was boring.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to us geek out about Denis Villeneuve for this hour of podcasting. And does that wrap everything up? Because I feel like we've come to a good, solid conclusion about our say of Blade Runner 2049.
Well, I guess I have one more thing.
Oh, one more
thing.
It's
not maybe that important, but I think both Arrival and Blade Runner 2049 have, like, the same idea that they're developing. I guess.
Ooh, what could this mean?
Well, it, like, that's the whole point of the movie in Arrival, and it's just, like, sort of mentioned or referenced, I guess, in 2049. The point of Arrival is, like, you know, things won't go right, and things probably haven't gone right, and, you know, it's, because it's cyclical, you don't know exactly how it works, but, it's more important to Amy Adams' character that she, you know, goes through the heartbreak and has the child and all this stuff, or did. It's more important to have experienced that because the pain that she experiences when the child dies or something, or when there's a breakup, that pain validates the joy that she experienced in being a mother and a wife and things like that. And that's sort of the point of, like, the conclusion of Arrival a little bit for her as a character. In 2049, that's basically what Wallace just directly says to Deckard. He's like, you see, that's the thing I found out about you, Deckard, is that you like pain, because that pain validates the joys that you had. And he just says it flat out like that. And I was like, wow, that's almost a reference to Arrival, right?
That's cool. Basically, like, Denis Villeneuve, he learned, like, he wrote his script for Arrival, and then he just summed it up in a sentence through Wallace.
Right. Which I think is interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
Yeah, it was good. That's an interesting theme, and I hope he has that theme, like, throughout the rest of his movies. It's just, like, a random Easter egg.
Yeah. But, yeah.
All right. I felt like that review did not really explain everything that I felt about it, but...
We apologize for our mediocre review,
but
please forgive us. So, but we had fun doing it.
Wallace was not able to make reproducing replicants in the end, there's probably replicant uprising of ones that are actually now able to reproduce, probably, because she can. So, there'll be an infinite uprising. Or something, I don't know. The end. That's a good movie.
The end.
18 out of 18 or something. Oh yeah, right, so we should talk about other things.
Oh wait, are we still going to talk about other things? Right. We have reached the beyond the hour mark.
We're doing really well. Movie was 2 hours and 50 minutes or something like that. So it makes sense that this episode would go a bit longer.
Does it, though?
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at GoshDanielPod. I am also at RevanCard on Twitter, and Daniel is at TheChildishGuy.
Thank you for plugging me. It's so nice of you.
And you can support us on Patreon, like He Who Wishes to Not Be Named, Hunt the Bun Gunter, and Myron Smith did. Patreon.com/GoshDaniel.
I thought we changed her name. Did we change it back?
Oh, right. No, yeah. She told us she wanted to be Noreen. I'm sorry, Myron.
We've been making that mistake for the past couple episodes now.
I'm a terrible person. Yeah, Noreen. Right. And is that all? We're on...
I think that's everything.
You can listen to us on Stitcher if you want to listen to it again.
Yes. And we're... Wait, did you already say we're kind of on YouTube?
We're on iTunes and we're kind of on YouTube.
We will post things that are popular, I guess, that are mainstream and that we'll know will get some traction, right?
I guess.
I'll just post everything again.
It'd be better if we posted everything because we could get more traction that way.
That's true.
And lots of people...
Or maybe... We'll talk later.
A lot of people only listen on YouTube, so...
You're right.
That's so sad for them.
Oh, man.
You should feel bad about
that. We feel bad for you people.
All right. Yeah, so then we're sort of on YouTube. Our last episode was about the Last Jedi trailer, which was really, really cool. Really amazing.
Yes, and you can see our in-depth analysis and thoughts.
It wasn't nearly as in-depth. There. It was just a theory I had about the trailer, pretty much.
Yes, nor was it really analysis.
No, there was no analysis, really. But it looks like it'll be the best Star Wars movie. If not the most artsy.
It
could be the most artsy Star Wars movie.
The best?
I don't know.
Whoa.
It'll be better than The Force Awakens and probably even
Rogue
One,
that's a given.
So.
Okay, yeah, that's likely, probably.
It's just, it'll have...
We'll just have to wait and see.
So much emotion. I mean...
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen Luke Skywalker absolutely terrified before, but there he is in that trailer, and it's amazing. It'll be the best acted Star Wars movie. It has to be.
Yes.
Because we're actually getting a lot more Mark Hamill, and he's really good.
It's your daily dose of Star Wars in a Gosh Daniel podcast episode.
Well, I mean, we already talked about Star Wars before with Denis Villeneuve. I can't say it. So.
You have to say it in a French. You have to say it in Denis a French Villeneuve. Accent every single time.
Villeneuve.
Yeah, like that. Because like if the V is silent at the end, you can say it in a way that it kind of sounds like you're doing both. So someone's like, "Oh, the V is silent." Then you're like, "No, I didn't say it. Well, I didn't say the V." Or if like, "Oh, there's a V," you're like, "Yeah, I said the V."
Is that what of French is? Is just like trying to pronounce things two different ways so people can't like.
I think so.
So people can't tell you you're doing something wrong.
Wow. I think so.
That French pride there really gets in the way of people being able to pronounce their language.
Oh, yeah. We've uncovered a lot in this episode. Right.
We're really, really intelligent people who are just, talking about a movie really beautifully and in depth with no ums or stutters at all. We totally know.
Are you trying to hypnotize these people? Because I don't think it's going to work.
We're amazing at this. You love our podcast. You will listen to every single one and you will subscribe and you will leave a 5-star review on iTunes.
Oh, well, that was scary and loud. Okay, goodbye.
I see ya. That's the end of the podcast. Go away now.